Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are here bringing you the second session, if you will, of Financially Healthy. That is the series that we're dialoguing around the table on for this month of January 2018. And sitting here at the table with me is none other than Mary Ann Williams. Around the table, we just call her Mama. Mama, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you.
Oh, I'm doing good, Mama, doing good. So listen,
good to hear.
Here we are. Once again, dealing with this topic of financially healthy. And if you was with us last week, we talked about financially healthy individuals. And today we're going to be talking about financially healthy leaders. And so we're just going to ask Mama to pray if she feels led. If not, I will do it. But we just want to pray for the listeners today. We want to pray, Mama, for open ears and also for leaders to be able to hear what God is saying in this season. So if you will, Mama, take us there if you can.
Okay. Father God, we just come before your throne now, and as humble as we know how, Father God, just thanking and praise you, God, for everything that you've done for us, God. Thank you, God, for how you're taking care of us, God. Thank you, God, for giving us an open mind, God, that we will want to learn, God, that we want to receive the knowledge that's going to be taught tonight, God, that you'll open up our ears, God, you'll keep us focused, God, on the topic, God, and that you'll just give us guidance here and how to approach this subject. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. So listen, this show is not just for leaders. We do want to put that out there, that it's not just for leaders, but I'm telling you that leaders, if you are with us tonight, you're going to be blessed. There's going to be something that is going to happen as we deal into financially healthy leaders. And so if you're listening to us online and you want to be actually a part of the conversation, you want to talk about it, then all you have to do is go on to our Facebook page, which is the PRF Institute, PRF Institute on Facebook, or you can go to our website, PRF. PRF is Possessions, Resources, and Finances, prfministry.org. Go to our calendar. You can get to us through there or go to the tab that says radio. We'll bring you into the conversation. You want to talk, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you. We'll bring you into the conversation. You don't have to wait till the end of the show like you do with some of y'all Bible studies. Amen. All right, Mama. So listen.
Yes.
If this is your first time, we like to have fun around the table. This is God's business, and God's business doesn't have to be so serious and stuck up. We believe we can have some fun and crack some jokes every now and then and still be in order. So here's where we are, Mama. We're talking about financially healthy leaders. Last week we were talking about financially healthy individuals. And what was so key about financially healthy individuals was we had to let people know that as an individual, you are the one that affects every other organism around you. As an individual, you affect your household. As a husband, you affect your wife. A wife, you affect your husband. As parents, you affect your children. That's all right there internal, right where you are. But also, as an individual, you affect your leaders, right? There's so many people that go to their quote-unquote leaders, those who are in position over them. They're going to them trying to get help in this area that's talking about trying to be financially healthy. That individual now affects them, because I could tell you, as one of those type of religious leaders, it is a lot when people come with all the economic type of issues that they're coming to us with. As an individual, you also affect your church, because, see, there's some things that God may have for y'all to do, and if you're not financially healthy, and I'm talking about rich or talking about being wealthy, but just talking about being financially healthy. If you're not financially healthy, then you're not going to be the best contributor that you can be to the church that you are attending or any other ministries or sources or organization that God leads you to support financially. And so now here we are, financially healthy leaders. I put out a question, and the question was this: what is your litmus test? What is it? How do you test, if you will, whether a leader is financially healthy? How do you, as an individual leader, ask yourself, am I financially healthy? And be really honest about that, right? How can we come up one way or another with who's healthy and unhealthy, Mama? Do you have any thoughts on how you
okay.
as an individual, as a member, can actually determine whether Dr. Dunlap is financially healthy or not?
Well, it would be if you brought to the church, you know, your personal financial obligations. And if you were to say, well, because, you know, you had to put money in to help to take care of the church light bill, now, you know, you just need someone, you know, needs to take up an offering so you can take care of your own. And then if that's just on a continual basis, then that would let me know that you're not, something is not right there, you know, with your personal finances. Or sometimes if, you know, a person if you came to the church and, you know, say your car is no longer working, and say the board or the deacon board come up with a plan that they would buy a car, a secondhand car, mm-hmm. for you for $5,000, and then you come and say, no, you know, I need something better. I don't want a secondhand car, you know. And say if I'm on that, you know, if I'm a deaconess, so to speak, you know, I would question the motive. I would question, well, I'm beginning to see now that, you know, you're not thankful, number one, and you're not handling your finances, because maybe that car could have been fixed. You know, that never came up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I'm going to just be honest. I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer to say whether Bishop such and such is financially healthy or not. You don't really have the way of seeing, of really truly being able to say whether Dr. Dunlap is financially healthy. There has to be something, as you were giving in your examples, there has to be something there that you can put some teeth in, if you will. You can grab a hold on to and say, that's causing me a little bit to pause, right? So let us go. We're just going to deal with a couple of scriptures and we're out of here. I want everybody to go to the book of James, and we're going to start at, we'll start at verse 13, and let me read it to you. Y'all can just sit back, and y'all don't have to go through your Bible. Y'all can just sit back and listen to that reading. I'm coming from three different translations, so I'm going to be coming from the New Living Translation, the NIV, and the King James, just so you can hear a couple things repeatedly. So the 13th verse, the beginning of the 13th verse, or the 13th, 13a, if you will, says, are any of you suffering hardships? Or is any among you in trouble? Or is any of you afflicted? So when we're talking about financial problems, you have to know that fits into that category, right? So what it says is, are any of you any suffering from these hardships? It doesn't tell you what type of hardships, right? It doesn't tell you what type of trouble. Well, we know that a lot of leaders are in, I know that a lot of leaders are in financial trouble, having some financial hardships. So here's what it says. You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on, watch this, you should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. So, last verse, verse 15. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So, here's the first, talking about this litmus test. The first way that you can evaluate or be able to see if a leader is financially healthy is if they can call on someone to help you or help them with their financial condition.
Okay.
I'm going to be real simple tonight. If you can call on somebody, to help you out, leaders, when you're having a financial situation, that's a good indication that you're financially healthy, because you're not going the other way, right? Let me give you another verse, Proverbs 11 and 2. Proverbs 11 and 2, right? That is such a critical verse. I want everybody to take a note of Proverbs 11 and 2, because James chapter 5, verses 13 and 15, and a couple others, they I'm getting ahead of myself. They are so relative because Proverbs is not some book that you just that just stands by itself, even though it does really in the Bible because it's wisdom literature. But when you start putting the wisdom of Proverbs with these other things of wisdom, these other texts of wisdom that are coming before in other type of chapters throughout the Bible, it just makes it even more powerful. So listen, let's go back to verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships or afflicted or going through some troubles? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what does it take to be that type of religious leader to be able to do that? Proverbs 11:2 says this. There you go. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. So I will say very clearly that an indication that you're a financially healthy leader is if when you get in trouble, you're able to take away that pride, not let that pride lead to disgrace, but be humble with it and listen to the wisdom that comes before you. It is a thing of wisdom to go to somebody and ask them to pray for you when you're going through something, because that's what James chapter 5 just said to us. Got another one for you. Here's another part, another thing you can deal with this litmus test, right? If you can be honest about where you are with others, about your financial condition. That same chapter of James says in verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We've been dealing with this whole notion of financial healing for a little while now. I'm going to go to the King James because a lot of people know the King James, I believe. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
That's James chapter 5, verse 16. But the beginning of it, what does it say? Confess your sins one to another. Now, here's where somebody may want to try to give me a little pushback, Mama. Well, hold on. Just because I'm not financially healthy, are you saying that's my sins? Are you saying that is the reason why I'm in this situation? I don't know. You need to answer that question. See, if you went and got yourself into some trouble financially, you know that sin is anything that displeases God, right? We can be real simple about it, so we ain't gotta slice it down the middle a thousand ways. Be here all night, right? So if you enter into a transaction that you know you didn't have the money to truly be in that financial transaction, you're lying to yourself, and you're kind of misleading the person that you're asking to give you a loan, because you know you really can't afford it, and you know that you're probably going to have some problems paying it back. People do it all the time. And guess what?
Yes.
Religious leaders, my friends, my colleagues, do it as well. So that's another one, right? And the same thing. If you confess your sins, that goes back to Proverbs 11:2. What is Proverbs 11:2? Pride leads to disgrace, but humility comes wisdom. So you're not going to be able to be honest about your situation as a religious leader. Or let me come from a different. If you are a religious leader, then and you can be honest about where you are, then that's a good indication that you may be in a good spot as far as being financially healthy. And I see you've got to catch what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about having all this money in the bank. I'm not talking about not having any financial problems. What I'm talking about is being financial healthy. We're talking about a state of being, not what your bank account looks like. Because you can be financially healthy living on minimum wage.
Yes. That's good.
you can be financially healthy living on minimum wage. Let's be real with this thing. There's a whole bunch of people, especially in my family, they may not have a lot of money, but you couldn't tell you would not say they were not financially healthy. Because when they needed something, they know how to go and get it. I'm not talking about anything illegal, but they know how to get it. They know how to deal with resources like 2 Kings chapter 4 teaches. State of mind, state of being. Here's another one.
Okay.
A good indication for being financially healthy is, oh my goodness, this one's going to mess some folk up, Mama.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see which way I want to go. I want to see, I'm thinking about the chicken or the egg right now. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We're going somewhere. When you, as a leader, lead in your giving by example. All right, Mama. I know that was a rough one, so I'm a go to. We got two callers waiting on the line right now. So something was said that sparked somebody, and amen for that. So we're gonna go to South Carolina. South Carolina on the line with us. How are you doing this evening?
How you doing? How you doing? This is Bishop Zimmerman.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
Hey. That was wonderful. I was sitting here listening and enjoying what I was hearing. I was just gleaning and hearing what you were saying, and just to, I won't say piggyback ride, but just to add on what you were saying, a rich man doesn't have, a rich woman may be on minimum wage, but they owe no man nothing but the love. They, like you said, they know how to go out and get what they need and don't get what they don't need. You know, that, I mean, it's so profound, you know. And sometimes they've learned through life's experiences that you don't necessarily have to have certain things. They don't have to keep up with the Joneses, you know.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I was talking to someone just recently about a particular group, and they were like, well, I can't go to this particular function because I don't have this money. You got to come with this kind of money. Who said you got to come with this kind of money? Or you have to have this office. You have to have this type of money. I said, I didn't find that in my Bible. So, you know, he said, come and show up. I said, I didn't read that Bible. I said, but I know what my Bible says. And so, you know, I said, you know, I will be glad when we get to a place that we're more concerned about Jesus than concerned. Now, I know the Bible says money answers all things, but we must learn not to take that scripture out of context. You know,
that's right.
We need to learn that, yes, we need money to establish the kingdom. We need money to have the lights on in the edifice. We need to have certain things going on in the kingdom, to be able to do outreach and things like that. But it's not so important that we have to have tailor-made suits and things and certain things, you know, frivolous things, but we go lacking in those essential things, you know.
That's right.
And I was sharing with the person. I said, I will go Goodwill any day and walk in as if it's nothing, because it's so important. Kingdom is so important, you know.
That's right.
We have to be able to balance out certain things. And I'm still getting certain things in my finances, trying to get it in order myself as a leader, so that I can set an example for those who follow me as I follow Jesus. And so when you're in a financial deficit, it hinders your praise, it hinders your worship. It shackles you, and you feel like you're hog-tied in the spirit, and it limits you from worshiping in the true essence of holiness. And so you have to be able to get to the place that you don't let finances get you in a degraded state, that you can't feel free to be in the spirit and worship God as he so deserves. And you can't let money be your God that you so want to ascertain that so much, that is so important. It's so important. I just wanted to share those couple of things right there.
That's good.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, listening, I'm just going to tell you to mute your microphone on your end. I'm going to keep your microphone open on our end. And when you want to jump back in like Double Dutch, you know, you just get ready, because I'm sure I'm going to say something that's going to spark something in a moment. So I'm going to go to and bring Brother Mark into the conversation. He's been sitting kind of patiently. Oh, my goodness. Brother Mark, good evening, brother.
Hey, how are you doing tonight? Hey, Mama, how are you doing?
Good evening, Brother Mark. Right. Just well, thank you. Doing well.
Bishop Zimmerman as well. She said a lot of good things a mouthful. I really not nothing to say. She covered a lot of things. I know you know, you were asking about how can you tell, or how can you KOF leader is healthy. You really can't, like you said, because as a black race, we tend to fake it till we make it up. We tend to drive expensive things and wear lavish things, and we're hurting. But I also when you said about being financially unhealthy, is it a sin? It can turn into sin. You know, I think I remember sending you something possibly about 2 weeks ago about the pastor and his wife up, I think maybe around the Virginia area, that, you know, got arrested because they was living this lifestyle and they began to have to take in order to maintain the lifestyle. And so, it can become sin because we see stuff like that all the time. And so I just thought about that when you said that, because it can truly turn into sin.
Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why I know God has us talking about this, because think about all of the damage that has come from a leader. It was a husband and a wife of leaders, the leaders of that particular congregation. Think about the damage that it did to the congregation.
Yes.
So this is a result of leaders being financially unhealthy.
Yep.
So if anybody just like, oh, why are they talking about this? Okay, talk to them folk up there in Virginia Beach. I believe it was Virginia Beach, Virginia. Talk up to the folks at Virginia Beach, Virginia. So watch this. Here's another text for you. I'm going to give it to you because we're almost out of time. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you start at I'm going to read through these in order to get to where I want to get to. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because the palatial structure is not for man but for the Lord." Now, he's talking about, you know, remember that King David was unable to build the temple of the Lord. Yet, you know, God said he couldn't do it. Prophet Nathan came to him after got the revelation and goes to him and said, you can't do what you want to do, but you know, it can happen through your son Solomon. So this is kind of where we're at right now. All right. So then in verse 2, here's what it says: "With all of my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kind of fine stone and marble, all of these things in large quantities. Now listen to this. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything I have already provided for the holy temple." Okay, that don't say nothing until you start reading verse 4. 3,000 talents of gold. Okay, that's not like $3,000. You got to understand, that's not 3,000. 3,000 talents of gold is 110 tons. Okay, so hopefully you got to understand that this is not like some chump change. Let me just stop there. I can really stop there. Do you understand the magnitude of what King David was doing? Do you understand the magnitude of what he gave? So here's the point. You can say, you can see or assume that somebody else as a religious leader is probably financially healthy when they lead in their giving by example. Okay. When they lead in their giving by example. Let me take us somewhere real quick. When I say that, again, this is just reading the scripture. There's more to that. He talked about he gave them the gold and the silver and the bronze. I don't even have to go into all of that. Just dealing with the gold being 110 tons, right? Then he said, they also contribute numerous precious stones which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, the descendant of Gershon. Then it said, the people rejoice over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and David was filled with joy. Now, I may come back to those last couple of verses, but think about what was read. He's donating 110 tons, donating hundreds of tons of silver. Then he says at the end of verse 5, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Listen, some of y'all who are listening to this as religious leaders, I know it's going to mess you up. Go to God on it because he's speaking right now. You ain't doing nothing when you come out your pocket and you say, I'm going to give $100 and I need others to give $100. Hold on. First of all, if you want to really do something, you do over and above what you're asking everybody else to do. But if you're not financially healthy, then you can't do it. And I got to go here because we need somebody to be released from this. The fact that you give before you get your check at the end of service, you ain't done nothing. The fact that you give what you give and you ask other people to give because you know you're getting a check at the end of the service, preachers included, you ain't really done nothing. You really haven't done anything. You have not even done anything above because you know it's guaranteed. Because I guarantee you this, if they don't have your check at the end of service, you're cutting up. or if they don't give you anything, then what you're going to say is, man, I've heard it in the pulpit. I heard it in the pastor studies before. Man, I can't go, man. I ain't going back to that church, man. They don't pay over there. What? Okay. You're financially unhealthy. Part of being financially unhealthy is being greedy. Let me keep going. Let me keep going because mm-hmm. 3 minutes. Here's the thing I want to leave you with, because I'm not trying to beat up on anybody, but if it hurts you, then it hurts you. Ask God to forgive you, and let's move on, because the people are the ones that's watching all this. I'm a segue into Jesus, and we're going to end on a Jesus note. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who disguise themselves as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is the way they act. Giving is an act. They say the act of giving. Okay. Can you pick grape from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces fruit, good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes. Here it is right here, verse 20. Yes, this is Jesus. Yes, you can identify a tree by its fruit. So you can identify people by their actions. Listen, if you're not financially healthy, when I come to you as a member and you are, quote unquote, my leader or in leadership position, how can you really speak with the conviction that you really need to speak from when your stuff is raggedy as a religious leader? I can't pick nothing off of you. I can't pick nothing off of your tree about good credit if your credit is a 400, especially if nobody knows about it, especially if there's nothing being done about it. Here's the point. You can kind of tell that you're financially healthy as a leader when the fruit of your blessing extends to the other people. When the fruit of your blessings extend to the other people who you're leading. Can I go here? How good and how pleasant it is for brothers dwell together in unity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. If you are financially healthy, then your people should be financially healthy. If you are not financially healthy, then you should expect your people to not be financially healthy. So why am I saying all that? Because I know too many I know too many financially unhealthy people in the church, and they are a representation of their leadership. Listen, thank you all for tuning in. We will see y'all next week on the PRF table. Y'all already know this is how I say it is going to be from now on. One thing we're going to do as we close out, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're going to ask you just to search the heart, search the components of your heart. You know if you know him or not. If your relationship is not intact with him and you already received Christ, but you know you acting out, everybody don't really know it, repent and ask him to come back into your heart. If you go and you look in the book of Romans, it says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. So all we're going to ask you to do, if you don't know him, we're going to ask you to do that. You're not doing it for us. You're not doing it for ratings. We don't keep a ratings on that. We don't keep any tick marks on it, how many people became saved. It's a personal relationship between you and God, the God that created you, and then and the one Jesus who sent for you. So we ask for you to do that because it's for your betterment. And you can always reach out to us to talk about this a little bit more. You can hit us up on prfministry.org. You can also hit me up or anybody on our team at admin@prfministry.org. Listen, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PRF table. Dr. Dunlap is out. Mary Ann Williams, Mama, we're out. God bless you. We love you. Have a great evening.